Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guests explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
Greetings, blessings, and welcome to this edition of A Call to Greatness. And your greatness is indeed calling. It calls every day, every moment, and in all sorts of different ways. Today, we are going to be looking at the greatness that you can find in yourself, and that self with a capital S. So, those of you who saw the description to this show, we are going to be talking about narcissism. And we are going to be talking about narcissism in a way that I think is unusual, in a way that will change your thinking a little bit about the word, the myth that it came from, what it means, and how to work with it. How often have you heard, oh, don't be such a narcissist? So, we're going to get into why I'm looking at narcissism in just a couple of minutes, but I am delighted and thrilled to be joined today by Carrie Clark Kenny, who is a PhD. She has a Doctor of Philosophy in Mythological Studies from Pacifica Graduate Institute in Santa Barbara, California. And I was just thrilled to find someone who had actually done a dissertation on narcissism and was thinking about narcissism and the myth of narcissists in not exactly the same way that I was, but in a similar way. So, Carrie, I want to welcome you to A Call to Greatness. I'm just delighted to know you and to have you on the show talking about this.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
Thank you. I want to begin by just introducing the idea of narcissism and talk about narcissists a little bit, and I'd like to start with a little reflection. So, I encourage all of you to take this moment, as I do at the beginning of every show, to open to the material, to open to the learning, to open to the possibility that this particular topic, this particular show, could unlock a very important key to your own greatness. So, with that, taking a deep breath and allowing your spirit to feel your body, allowing yourself to connect to the earth, to the cosmos, and to your own heart and to the world around you. And just let yourself have some associations for a minute. What do you think of, feel, when you hear the word narcissism? When you think of someone as narcissistic? About words like self-centered or self-absorbed. What do you really think of yourself? And what happens to you when you see your reflection, whether it be in the mirror, in water, in another person? What happens to you? And I invite you now to open to some words from the poet Rumi. The reflection cast from good friends is needed until you become, without the aid of any reflector, a drawer of water from the sea. Know that the reflection is at first just imitation, but when it continues to recur, it turns into direct realization of truth. Until it has become direct realization, don't part from the friends who guide you. don't break away from the shell if the raindrop hasn't yet become a pearl. I'm going to read that again. The reflection cast from good friends is needed until you become, without the aid of any reflector, a drawer of water from the sea. Know that the reflection is, at first, just imitation. But when it continues to recur, it turns into direct realization of truth. Until it has become direct realization, don't part from the friends who guide you. Don't break away from the shell if the raindrop hasn't yet become a pearl. Those words are from Rumi, from a book called Daylight. And so we are bringing into daylight a concept and a myth that is often in the shadows. And so, Carrie, I'd like to start by talking about why we are talking about narcissism. Like, why narcissism? I have to say, for me, I see a lot of clients who come in and will say something like, you know, so-and-so said I was narcissistic, or that sense that it me, and we think of that as narcissism. And as I got to thinking about it, I thought I see so much of it in the culture that it seems like it's just crying out for some understanding, kind of like narcissism is this thing to avoid, kind of like, oh, don't be a victim, don't be a narcissist. They were in the same category. And yet they're patterns that contain the seeds of healing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what drew me to it, and that's why I want to talk about it. But I'd like to hear from you a little bit, why narcissism for you? Why did you write a whole dissertation on it? Why are you still drawn to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's definitely an allure to the term, I think, because it is a sort of a demonized term. It has a shame to it. It's negative. And yet the myth itself is quite beautiful and rich, and I think that dynamic drew me to it originally. And also, you know, having been called self-centered in my life, especially in the teenage years, when I think I was drawing in to myself to discover who I was, to be labeled narcissistic, you know, and the shame that accompanied that kept it alive for me. And in later years, I began to explore what the term really meant, sensing that there was more depth to it than just self-centeredness.
Exactly. So if you've ever been, any of you listeners have ever been called narcissistic or even thought you might be that, this will be the show for you, because every myth, the way that I've worked with myth, every myth has in it a component of healing and is a way of presenting a pattern, kind of something that's going on in life that's being healed in the collective. And I think we are at a time when there is great need for the healing of this myth in the collective.
Yes.
So let's start, let's see how far we get before the break, by letting people know, first of all, most of us have heard the term. We all know about, there's a flower called Narcissus. We all know about, okay, what we think it means, what we think the word means, narcissistic, self-centered, self-absorbed, but I believe not many people really know the myth. So I'd like to start with an explanation of the myth. If you could tell us this story a little bit, and then we can kind of break down the components and have a little fun with how you get to the healing. So I'd like to start with the myth, and if a break comes up, we'll just continue with the myth on the other side, like any good story.
Okay. Well, this version of the myth of Narcissus and Echo is found in Ovid's Metamorphoses, which was written in 8 AD. And the story begins with the river nymph, Liriope, asking Tiresias, who's the blind prophet, if her infant son, Narcissus, would live to see old age. To which the prophet replies, yes, if he never knows himself.
In
his 16th year, Narcissus, who was desired by many, but touched by none, was driving frightened deer into his net. When he met the nymph Echo, her speech was strange, for she could only repeat the final part of what she has just heard. Her desire for Narcissus caused her to follow him in hopes that one day she might tempt him with caressing words and tender pleas.
And as Echo is caressing Narcissus, we are going to take a short break, and we are going to repeat a little bit of that. What it kind of allows you to begin to open to the myth and sink in and stay with us, and we will continue with narcissism as a path to greatness when we come back. Stay with us.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you, and welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I'm here today with Carrie Clark Kenny, Ph.D. from the Pacifica Graduate Institute, and we are talking about Narcissus and about narcissism as a path to greatness. And we just started to explore the myth. And before the break, we had brought Narcissus up to his 16th year, so what would be in our day and age prime adolescent time. So, Carrie, if you could take it from Narcissus turning 16.
Yes. So in his 16th year, Narcissus, who was desired by many but touched by none, was driving frightened deer into his nets when he met the nymph Echo. Her speech was strange, for she could only repeat the final part of what she has just heard. Her desire for Narcissus caused her to follow him in hopes that one day she might tempt him with caressing words and tender pleas. On a day when he's been separated from his faithful friends, she gets her chance. Through words echoed, an invitation comes to pass, and she, like many others, is scorned and spurned. In her shame, she hides in the woods, and though her voice remains, her body wastes away, her bones turned to stone. Another youth, one among many, spurned like Echo, pleaded to the gods, that may Narcissus fall in love, but once prey, may he too be denied the prize he craves. So, while trying to quench his thirst one day, Narcissus becomes stricken with the sight of the image he sees in the pond. Try as he may, he cannot grasp that which he desires. Kept apart by nothing but the thinnest stretch of water, this love confounds him so. As he laments, he tears his tunic's top, beats his naked flesh, and undone by his love, dies at the pond's edge. What appears in place of his body is a flower whose yellow center is circled by white petals. And that's it.
Wow. So, not the most cheerful of myths upon just reading it, and yet it's quite profound. And so what I was touched by as you were reading is this is a myth that is about love and about loss and grief. Among other things, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, as you read this myth, and as you kind of have gotten to know this myth, where do you see it applying today?
Well, I think there's some different places of application. One is the culture, and in the study that I did, I read somewhere that our culture in general is at an adolescent phase. It's like we're at a threshold of initiation, of growing up, of taking responsibility, of becoming a more mature culture. So I like that it can be culturally applied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do seem to be stuck a bit in that, quote, adolescent phase.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you can see that with our emphasis on consumerism,
mm-hmm.
And a certain emptiness that I think a lot of individuals feel, and all that feeling of estrangement and alienation and
mm-hmm.
is beckoning us to find relationship. And relationship becomes another theme in, you know, as found in the myth,
mm-hmm.
relationship between Echo and Narcissus, between Narcissus and his own image. Like you said, love is there, the desire for relationship as
mm-hmm.
found in love. So on an individual basis, the myth makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah.
So let's just talk about the myth for a minute, and then we're going to come back to kind of the whole idea of narcissism, but let's just talk about the myth for a minute. Echo kind of has an interesting role.
Yeah, she's elusive in her meaning, but what I discovered was that she becomes a character that embodies grief, and the grief that is found in the myth. I saw Echo as embodying it, but Narcissus as the one who really displays it
mm-hmm.
in his grasping for the image,
mm-hmm.
his not feeling resolved at the end of the myth.
Right.
Which grief has a component of that.
Of not resolving.
Yeah.
And we strive so hard to resolve it.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's been 2 weeks. Aren't you done?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think conscious grief is one that has something that's been reflected upon that ends up carrying meaning in our life. Unresolved grief is very destructive.
Yes.
It doesn't find relationship with anything.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've talked about a lot in this show is a kind of inclusivity, embracing different emotions. And so it isn't about making the grief go away. It is about transforming the relationship to it.
Yes.
So in this myth, both of these characters die.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like a path somebody would readily want to go, oh, let me follow the path of this myth. You know, if it ultimately just leads to death.
Right. Well, what I discovered was that the narcissistic personality structure
mm-hmm.
is one that has components of the life between ego and self with a capital S. And in a wonderful book called Ego and Archetype, Edward Edinger elucidates a model of the ego-self relationship. And what he explains is that we are in a constant cycling of being alienated from self and being in relation with self. And so it's a sort of experiential continuum where at times we feel, you know, we feel held, we feel loved by self, we feel in alignment. And then there's other times when we feel estranged, we feel alone, we feel betrayed. And so those times when we feel the loss of connection with self, that is death. And
yeah.
So there is a constant cycling in everyday life mm-hmm. of life and death.
Yes. And so when you disconnect from self with the capital S, when you disconnect from self, that if you don't reconnect, you do wither away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes all the reconnection takes is awareness, I'm in a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting fixated on the loss of the connection with self
mm-hmm.
is what... that's where the narcissistic defense starts to be erected. And that's why, the feeling of narcissism is one of disconnect.
Right. Even though to many people this can look like, I am totally obsessed with myself.
Right. What it really is a defense against feeling that.
Right. I don't want to feel that disconnection. I don't want to feel alone, and I want somehow desperately to reconnect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But yeah. I don't want you to see.
Right, right. I don't want you to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, with echo chasing Narcissus, there is a feeling in this myth about, I desire something and I can't have it.
Right. Yeah.
How does that work with this the whole personality structure that you just talked about?
Well, I think it's in those times of loss of connection with self.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a faith that that's exactly what should be happening at that moment. One thing that Edinger stresses is that the cycle of alienation and relationship, they're both necessary for each other. So,
like two dance partners.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a faith in the world being just how it should be.
Even if you don't like how it is.
Right.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. So, as we move into this, one of the things that I find myself thinking about is the current philosophy in a lot of the New Age movement is that if you learn to love yourself and you meditate and you work for prosperity and abundance, you can have everything. And once you love yourself, you can love everybody else. And until you love yourself, you can't love anyone else. And so what I see in my work is there are a lot of people spending amazing amounts of time trying to love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems in a way, I'd like you to talk a little bit about that philosophy and this myth, because they are different.
Yeah. Well, the New Age sort of pursuit that you're talking about, to me, what I see is a sort of spiritual consumerism, where if I can just attain that one piece, everything will be okay. I'll have gotten, where I want to be so that then I can love myself. And I think archetypal psychology is wonderful in that it really values the underworld, it values the shadow, it values all the things that actually bring substance to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the myth of Narcissus and Echo is wonderful in that it has that the death component to it. It
right.
has the shadow, the him beating himself, his body. I mean, it's dark, but I think most people, upon reflection, can really relate to that kind of suffering.
Right, right. We can all have thoughts like that, even if we don't act them out and go down to the river and beat ourselves.
Right.
We beat ourselves verbally. We beat ourselves in other ways, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm hearing here is that there is a kind of transformation that happens through these myths. And it's not an easy transformation.
No.
And that's what we're looking at, is real transformation. So we are going to talk a lot more about the transformation in this myth, and continue looking at narcissism as a path to greatness. So stay with us, and if you have questions or comments, you are also free to call in at 866-472-5795. Stay with us. We'll be right back on A Call to Greatness.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real, and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you, and welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I am here today with Carrie Clark Kenny, PhD, Doctor of Philosophy in Mythological Studies, and we are talking about narcissism as a path to greatness. It's a myth that talks a lot about healing loss and grief, about being with the richness of life, and about loving.
And we have a caller joining us on the line. Veronica, welcome to A Call to Greatness.
Thank you. Nice to be here. My question is, so given the two angles that you were discussing before the break,
mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of fascinating to sort of point out that one could actually be living out the narcissistic part of your personality by being in that cycle where you're constantly doing for others.
Mm-hmm.
And would the definition be that, let's say you were in one of those phases where you felt like you were always doing something for other people, but that if you felt like you were called to do this and you were okay with it, then you were not living out the narcissistic myth, but if you felt like you were resenting it and it was taking you away from what you were doing, that would be a narcissistic part of the cycle? Or
interesting question.
Yeah, what occurs to me is that actually doing as opposed to being can be seen as a characteristic of the narcissistic personality. And so reflecting, being able to pause for a moment, is this truly what I want to be doing? Is this living out my true pattern? Would be how I would address that. If one's emphasis is to do, and to do without a real connection to oneself or one's true pattern and why one's here this lifetime, then that doing doesn't serve relationship.
Aha. Uh-huh. So the resentment could come from not having taken that moment to reflect.
Yeah. And the lingering at the pond, like Narcissus does, yields something. So, you know, it's sort of that, it's that flow, pause,
mm-hmm.
reflect, and then do from a place of connection.
Yeah. Does that make sense, Veronica? They disconnected, Veronica. That's too bad, because I would have liked to have elucidated that one a little bit more.
Yeah.
Go ahead and call back, Veronica, because this is an interesting question. And I think it's something that's quite prevalent, where you see a lot of people who are givers and then feel put upon,
mm-hmm.
and feel like things are being demanded of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that in many ways, what I kind of see people who are either obsessed with themselves, this is how I've always thought of somebody who's narcissistic, is someone who's either obsessed with themselves or has so little sense of self that they are doing for others and so other focused that they forget about themselves,
mm-hmm.
that it seems to be two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, the resentment comes up. And to me, that would be a call to mm-hmm. look within. Where am I not feeling connected? I'm projecting onto the world that they're not noticing all that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what am I not noticing? What have I, you know, what have I given up by doing for others?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so is this the main call of this myth? What is, as you read it, what is the call?
Well, I see a two-sided call. There's an alternation that goes on. One is to reflect, to look within, and that would, you know, qualify the term of self-absorption. But if we only do that one thing, then it is out of balance.
Right.
The other side is to connect with a world other than self. And that world is the world of people, objects, and nature. And I emphasize nature in the study because when we connect with nature, we become aware of natural patterns. And in those natural patterns, we find the cycle of life and death. What I've come to discover since the completion of the study is really the world of objects cities, buildings, they're equally rich in the fertility of being connected to the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fabric of the world is something I can connect with in all of its expression.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a call outward and I see a call inward.
Mm-hmm. A call outward and a call inward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that relates again to the ego self relationship being
right.
out of connection, being in
mm-hmm.
connection. It's a, you know, there's a rhythm.
So yeah, this is Veronica. I'm back.
Welcome back. And did that actually address your question?
Yeah, it did. I was kind of trying to think about, you know, the ego part that you were talking about while I was trying to remember the phone number. So you know, in other words, the sort of martyr personality is really looking for the self-connection by saying, oh, look, how somebody tell me how good I am because I'm doing all these things for all these people and I'm doing things for you. And so that would sort of be, in a way, the person who's kind of trying to sit at the pond and look for self and find it somewhere by looking outward?
Yeah, there's a confusion there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right? And that's part of the myth as well. Narcissus doesn't know it's his own image until at one point he does, and then he gets confused again. It's like, where do I see myself reflected?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we really pause, we see ourselves reflected everywhere.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So you could almost equate that with the person who spends the early part of the adult life chasing the career, gets the job where they work 100 hours a week and goes, oh my God, what have I done? Myself is in my family and I better go back to them, and quits the job and goes and does something else midlife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly one manifestation of the cycle.
Yeah, finding the places where we feel connected and pursuing our relationships there is really, I think that's what helps to nurture our sense of self. And then there's another interesting part of this, and that is to push ourselves into the unknown. And I think that is what the narcissist is ultimately challenged with, to not know where one's sense of relationship is coming from, to explore, to you know, pursue a relationship with someone where fear comes up. Even in the myth, Narcissus, you know, he dies. He goes into the ultimate unknown. And there's a piece here about trusting my relationship with the world,
mm-hmm.
and with people, and really to push myself beyond my own self-imposed limits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting, as you talk, Veronica and I are, I know who she is. Veronica is my twin sister. We are identical. And it's going through life having a not quite almost identical reflection.
Hmm.
Has been a very interesting path of looking at the reflection and seeing where it really is a direct reflection and where I can separate myself from that reflection to say, she is who she is and I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Has been a very interesting journey.
Oh, I can imagine. And I think that we all have that task in front of us,
mm-hmm.
because when we're in the symptomatic narcissism, we can't see the difference between people. We assume the other person as part of our own inner reality. We deny the uniqueness. And so here's one of those paradoxical places in the myth. In order to know the other, one must become aware of one's own obscurity, of one's, you know, it's sort of like being connected with all, with a capital A, and also having a uniqueness. So in order to perceive the other truly, one must lose one's own sense of identity.
Right.
And give that gift to somebody.
And give that gift to somebody, and it's quite a gift. Great. Thank you for calling back and sort of finishing that question, Veronica.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for covering it.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this really is a call, and it is a call to greatness, which is one of the reasons the more that I reflected on this myth, the more excited I get. This idea of knowing the self and then releasing the self, this is kind of how I think of it anyway, releasing the self to then allow the other selves to be present, to know the other. Is that where you see the kind of see the healing of this myth, Carrie?
I do. I think ultimately the myth is really about how one forms a sense of identity. And that identity, in all openness, would admit the other's presence, would admit the multiplicity of oneself. To get fixed and rigid on one part of our identity really doesn't serve relationship.
Right.
Because it puts all the other aspects at, you know, at distance.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that that is what the myth is about.
Mm-hmm.
Establishing one's sense of identity and having it be one that is open to relationship. And relationship is scary.
Right.
And so the courage that comes from a firm sense of identity, which I believe comes from a sense of faith as well, is what allows us to move into the world. And moving into the world is really important because as individuals, we're creating culture. And so there's a wonderful book called Nature and Psyche by David Kidner, and he talks about cultural structures. And myth is a cultural structure. Art is a cultural structure. And people's individual stories, when spoken, are cultural structures.
Right.
And what these structures do is mediate experience and meaning for the individual. They also connect the disparate parts. So as individuals feeling estranged from our culture, we need connection. We're wanting connection because the relationships and connections that we find with each other, with the world, help to dispel these false dualisms that comprise Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the false dualisms are man and nature, they're intellect and body, they're everything where we are lacking.
We think they don't go together.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so cultural structures and people's stories, we need all these things so desperately.
And so the culture, the myth, for example, when you talk about mediating the experience, it's like we have tons of experiences, but we have no container for them. Is that kind of what you meant?
Yeah, I think it's up to each one of us individually to create the structures.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is about moving into the world with our stories. And the content of those stories, in my opinion, when they're full of reflection, when there's an element of consciousness on why I'm suffering, those stories will transform the culture. They will bring subjectivity into the place where, for some reason, we don't think subjectivity should be.
Right. Yes, there has been a call for objective reporting, objective, this facts and facts only. So we are about to go to a break, but when we do go to this break, I invite all of you to ponder your stories. Do you have a story that's inside of you that you're living that needs to come out? Just to ponder that. When we come back, we'll look at some resources and where we can go to heal the
the symptoms of the narcissistic personality. So stay with us. We'll be right back on A Call to Greatness.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real, and down to earth.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Thank you, and welcome back to this final segment of this hour of A Call to Greatness. And the call today is through the myth of Narcissus. And we left you pondering your stories and looking at the healing and the transformation that comes through this myth. And so in this last segment, I want to talk a little bit about, among a few other things, some resources, so those of you who are drawn to this can explore it further. There's no way we can actually cover the whole thing in an hour. One of the things that I didn't mention early on is my initial kind of wake-up to this myth came from Thomas More's book, Care of the Soul. It's been out forever, and I would recommend this one to everyone because what he talks about, he has one chapter on the myth of Narcissus, and basically talks about how the soul leads you through a myth. And when he had a client who thought he was Jesus Christ, and, you know, clients who were definitely inflated, he trusted the soul to guide them to the appropriate place in themselves. And so he didn't deny it. He didn't push them away. He trusted that the soul would find the balance, which was an interesting way to work with the myth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That reminds me of seeking the places where we are not in relationship, to really let those be our guides.
Mm-hmm.
Because just simple reflection upon those places is what begins the relationship.
Right, right. So if I have trouble, say I'm not in relationship, this is a funny, kind of a silly example, but it's the first thing that popped up for me. If I really have trouble in relationship to authority, in relationship to bureaucrats when I'm calling them on the phone,
mm-hmm.
it's a place where I'm clearly not in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It would be one place to start,
mm-hmm.
to heal whatever is the place that needs healing in me from that myth.
Yes. And that makes me think of, you know, I hike regularly. I live at the base of a mountain, and Some days I'll be hiking and I cannot get out of a self-referential loop of thinking. And in those moments, what I try to practice is simply focusing outward, using my senses, whether it's the sense of hearing, you know, listening to a bird call, or really energetically looking at where I'm at. Those are the kinds of things that I do to get out of my own, you know, my own looping, where I know I don't want to be.
So looking out, and it sounds like then you're saying, okay, this is there. Here is the rain. Here is a flower. Here is a tree. And here am I. So you aren't completely, you don't disappear from the picture. But you aren't the only thing in the picture. Any other resources you want to point people to who want to explore this further?
Well, first of all, I'm happy to personally address anyone who's interested in specific resources. And my address, website address, is expmyth@gmail.com. So I'm more than happy to really direct people to specific things.
Great. EXP, kind of like Windows, EXP Myth, M-Y-T-H, at gmail.com.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
There's some wonderful books addressing the cultural issues of narcissism, individual issues, really some really good stuff out there that's really accessible.
That's great. And what I want to then leave you with, and I'll ask you in a minute, Carrie, what I want to leave people with is don't devalue your stories. That we need your stories. You need our stories. And so when you're sitting around the table, this comes up a lot in holidays, you know, family people start telling their stories, and I was like, oh, God, I've heard this before. And I'm like, wait, there's something in the story. There's something in the story. So open to that. Open to that. And also to not run so quickly from the loss, grief, rejection, not getting your desires met, but step into the unknown to actually see what those are saying. Anything you want to leave people with?
Boy, you just said it so well. Like you, you know, I really believe in the value of story and ultimately disidentifying from the story as well, and knowing that it's a whole cycle, and that really there's another side to everything we believe, and our sense of self is the fountainhead of identity, and maintaining that as a direction in life, I think, will yield great gifts.
So it's very much about, you know, narcissism can be a big word, but it's really a very simple experience to keep in your awareness as you go through the day. That here I am self, I have an identity, and it's a big identity.
And there's a reason for me being here.
And do you have many of the flowers around in your house?
Well, interestingly, my father gave me 16 narcissus bulbs on the day of my graduation.
That's great. So any of you who can, a narcissus bulb might be a good way to remember. And Carrie, I want to thank you so much for helping me address a topic that doesn't get talked about very much. It's been wonderful having you on A Call to Greatness, and I look forward to more. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and joining with me in this interesting pursuit. Have a wonderful week connected to self, and be sure and tune in next week on A Call to Greatness
When I interview Eric Weinmayer, the blind man who made history climbing Everest, you won't want to miss that show. Thank you. Blessings to all of you. Have a wonderful week and be great.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on The Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.